26 of Front Seat Cinema. Apologies for the background noise, which you will undoubtedly be able to hear. There's some gardening going on outside my window today. It'll be a brief enough episode, unfortunately, as I don't have a lot of time for recording podcasts right now, but we will get into a pattern very soon in the next few weeks when we will be doing very long episodes every week, so look forward to that. So I'll begin by reading out the box office results for this week. Walt Disney Pictures' Maleficent performed better than expected and took over the worldwide box office with an estimated $170.6 million global opening. It marks the biggest ever Angelina Jolie live-action opening domestically, internationally, and globally. Domestically, the Robert Stromberg-directed action-adventure debuted to $70 million from 3,948 locations, while the overseas take was $100.6 million, almost 40% ahead of Oz the Great and Powerful, which was released in March 2013. Also starring Charlton Copley, Elle Fanning, Sam Riley, Mella Stoughton, Juno Temple, and Leslie Manville, Maleficent received a cinema score of A. IMAX accounted for $9 million of the global box office, $6.7 million domestically, and $2.3 million internationally. Budgeted at $175 million, the film won't be opening in China until June 20th and in Japan on July 4th. With this weekend's global box office take, Disney have crossed the $2 billion box office mark worldwide with an estimated $2.055 billion after just 5 months of 2014. In its second weekend of release, 20th Century Fox's X-Men Days of Future Past has surpassed the $459.4 million grossed by X-Men The Last Stand to become the biggest film in the franchise. The $200 million Bryan Singer-directed film added $32.6 million in second place domestically to push its total to $162.1 million, and it brought in another $95.5 million internationally for an overseas total of $338.1 million. The global total now stands at $500.2 million. Debuting to a disappointing $17.1 million in third place domestically was Seth MacFarlane's R-rated comedy A Million Ways to Die in the West. Co-starring Charlize Theron, Liam Neeson, and Neil Patrick Harris, the $40 million Universal comedy debuted in 3,158 theaters but was unable to get close to the $54.5 million earned by MacFarlane's Ted 2 years ago. Dropping down two spots to fourth place, Warner Brothers and Legendary's Godzilla earned $12.2 million domestically in its third weekend, bringing its total to $174.7 million. Rounding out the top five domestically was Warner Brothers' Blended, starring Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, which added $8.4 million in its second weekend for a total of $29.6 million, and it was followed in sixth place by Universal's Neighbors. So, briefly, I'm going to give you mini little reviews of some films. So, I saw Maleficent this past weekend, and I was not a fan of Maleficent. I wasn't looking forward to this film, didn't have expectations for it. I thought Robert Stromberg was not a good choice to direct. It certainly did not manage to exceed or even match my incredibly low expectations. It's not a very good film. I think the central character of Maleficent, played by Angelina Jolie, is very, very weak. I mean, this film is the perfect opportunity for them to explore this anti-heroine in a lot of depth and, you know, a Breaking Bad sort of way, and they just completely fail at it. Her character has no depth, she's dislikable, she's not interesting. The supporting cast are also very weak. It doesn't look, considering Robert Stromberg, the director, is a production designer on some of the biggest films ever made, which do look quite nice. You'd think this film would at least be visually impressive, but it doesn't even succeed in that area as far as I'm concerned. The story was weak, the script was weak in general. I thought it was a very, very poor blockbuster, and gave it 2 stars. This week I also caught up with the Adam Sandler-Drew Barrymore comedy Blended, which I had extremely low expectations for. I expected it to not only be unfunny and cynical, but racist. And it was, it was none of these things, really. It was reasonably funny. Some witty moments and some okay themes, and it certainly wasn't racist at all, although I did expect it to be. It's amazing, but I gave it 3 stars. So also this week, I reviewed a few other films. I reviewed the Jason Bateman's directorial debut, Bad Words, which was a pretty good indie comedy. Gave that 3 stars as well. And I believe I also gave 3 stars to the Clark Gregg directorial film. Trust me, yeah, I gave that 3 stars, and that is written and directed by Clark Gregg, who you may know from The Avengers. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's a pretty good film as well. These are all pretty good films. You could rent them or watch them at home. And a couple of pretty big movie news stories of the last few days that I'll discuss briefly. The biggest one came yesterday. Came on Monday, and that's that. Star Wars Episode 7 added 2 new actresses to its cast in the form of Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o, and Gwendolyn Christie, who plays Brienne of Tarth on Game of Thrones. And she is a pretty good, she's one of my favourite characters in Game of Thrones. She's a very good actress, and Lupita Nyong'o, as we all know, is excellent. So these are two, when the original cast list for Star Wars Episode 7 with John Boyega and Max von Sydow, when that was released, there was a notable lack of, women in the cast, and by adding these two very, very strong female actresses, it really is a positive sign for the film. And I'm sure Star Wars Episode 7 is going to be excellent. I really can't see how it could end up not being great with everything it's got going for it now. Director, the cast, everything. In other news this week, there's been some trouble, some further trouble with the Ant-Man position, position of director on Marvel's Ant-Man. Of course, on the last episode, I discussed Edgar Wright leaving the project due to creative differences with Marvel Studios, or with people high up in Disney at the very least. So now they're trying to find a replacement for Edgar Wright. And it seemed very likely that Anchorman and Anchorman 2 director Adam McKay was in line for the job. And then he dropped out. He was in talks, and then he just dropped out of those talks because he apparently had prior commitments. So the two other directors whose names have been tossed around and who are apparently in talks right now are Rawson Marshall Thurber, who made Dodgeball and We're the Millers, and Ruben Fleischer, who made Zombieland, 30 Minutes or Less, and the absolutely awful Gangster Squad. That's one piece of Marvel news. The other big piece of Marvel news was that Josh Brolin is Thanos. Yes, Thanos, who was revealed briefly at the end of The Avengers in 2012. There's been some talk for a while of who would be playing him on screen, or at least voicing him, or doing motion capture, or whatever, in Guardians of the Galaxy and in The Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. And it was revealed a few days ago. I don't know which day it was on. Friday, I believe. Marvel tried to cancel out the negative news surrounding Ant-Man by making this announcement about Josh Brolin, and it didn't exactly work the way they had hoped. They thought it would obviously take away attention from the Ant-Man news, but it didn't exactly do that. And that is pretty much all the big film news since our last episode. Yep. If you visit BuzzHub, we've got some good features going on at the moment over there. You've got our BuzzHub's 100 top 100 films of all time. We've just revealed the latest edition of our list. We do it every year or two, and there's a new version up now. It is BuzzHub's top 100 films of all time. I will read you the top 10. Number 10 is Funny People. Number 9 is Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events. Number 8 is Bell, Book, and Candle. Number 7 is A Tie from National Treasure and National Treasure Book of Secrets. Number 6 is the Harry Potter series. Number 5 is Inception. Number 4 is Finian's Rainbow. 3 is The Incredibles. 2 is Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And number 1 is North by Northwest. So, check out that list. Just visit buzzhub.info/100. And it's up there. Top 100 films. Some great films on there, and it's all illustrated and lovely. Other pretty good features up on BuzzHub this week as well. We've got 243 films about time travel to celebrate the release of Edge of Tomorrow, and of course you can read my reviews of Maleficent, Blended, Bad Words, Trust Me, and more. So this weekend's big releases in the United States this upcoming weekend are Edge of Tomorrow and The Fault in Our Stars. Now, industry projections say that Fault in Our Stars is expected to have the bigger box office opening, which traditionally would be considered surprising to have a small budget teenage cancer drama, romantic drama, make more money in its opening weekend than a big expensive Tom Cruise sci-fi blockbuster. But that is how Hollywood works. I haven't seen either of these films yet, but I do hope to see at least Edge of Tomorrow before our next episode, if not both films. Faulkner stars as well, so you can read all about them up on BuzzHub. BuzzHub.info is the website to go to. Great content. You can go to Facebook.com and go to Front Seat Cinema. We have our own Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com, or just go to Facebook and search for Front Seat Cinema, or go to Facebook.com/BuzzHub. You can follow us on Twitter. We are, I believe, Twitter.com/Front Seat Cinema. Let me just do a check. Yes, we are. So, Twitter, we are at Front Seat Cinema. Twitter.com/Front Seat Cinema. Links to all the new episodes. And you visit buzzhub.info for all the latest episodes. We'll be back next week with more Front Seat Cinema. Until then, goodbye.